Pfizer's defense was not that these allegations are false. They challenge whether the allegations are true, but at this stage of the pleadings, they have to assume them to be true legally. Their argument was solely, even if they created a dangerous, ineffective drug that they disguised as a vaccine, that they said would be for the prevention of COVID-19, that didn't prevent COVID at all. In fact, in some cases, it appears the infection rate, it goes up with COVID, depending on how many booster shots that you've had, not only other dangers of the vaccine, that none of that matters. That as long as the Biden administration and the Justice Department and the FDA and the Defense Department go along with this scam, that nobody can ever hold them accountable.
With Bob Barnes in studio, we got a bunch of legal subjects to discuss here, but I really just want Bob Barnes to come on here and give us an update on all the different proceedings that are going on right now that you're involved in or others when it comes to the vaccine mandates, people losing their jobs, where it stands, where it's going in the future. Because from my perspective, it looks like their plans for the vaccine tyranny, the medical tyranny, really have failed. I mean, they gave out the cards, right, that had five things. Here's your five vaccine cards. This is your vaccine pass. Well, that's gone. So that's failed, and people are not getting five vaccines. But there's still some fallout, people losing their jobs, mandates. So with some of the litigation you're involved in, where do you see it going, and where is it right now?
Really, the biggest case that's going to determine and decide whether they're ever held accountable for their various lies, that Pfizer lied and people died because of those lies, is going to be the Brooke Jackson case, where we had oral argument this week in Beaumont, Texas on Wednesday. The court allowed about 4 hours of oral argument on it. There was a lot of briefing that happened before then. The court expressed concern with Pfizer's argument that the net effect of Pfizer's argument could be that there's no role for the judiciary in overseeing what takes place if the FDA simply continues to go along with the Pfizer fraud. And so the court's concern was just as a matter of principle. So we'll see what happens. The court's going to decide whether that case proceeds to discovery or not. It's going to be issuing a written opinion at some point in the next either several weeks, several months, depending on how long it takes the court to review everything. A lot of extensive and expansive briefing in the case, a lot of argument in the case. But what was extraordinary to me was Pfizer's defense. Pfizer's defense was not that these allegations are false. They challenge whether the allegations are true, but at this stage of the pleadings, they have to assume them to be true legally. Their argument was solely, even if they created a dangerous, ineffective drug that they disguised as a vaccine, that they said would be for the prevention of COVID-19, that didn't prevent COVID at all. In fact, in some cases, it appears the infection rate, it goes up with COVID, depending on how many booster shots that you've had, not only other dangers of the vaccine, that none of that matters. That as long as the Biden administration and the Justice Department and the FDA and the Defense Department go along with this scam, that nobody can ever hold them accountable. They have special immunity under the PREP Act, and they have additional immunity under this contract. The only way to hold them accountable is the Brooke Jackson suit. And that's why they've gone all out to deny discovery, to publicly attack Brooke Jackson, to publicly attack me, and to publicly attack others, is they can't afford any discovery or ever be held accountable. Because I think what we will find is what Brooke Jackson saw was she was just this ordinary person who oversees clinical trials, had been doing this for almost 20 years. They tried to portray her as an anti-vaxxer. It's completely false. She's just someone, in fact, she had no reason to doubt anything about this drug or this vaccine, was excited to be part of it, wanted to see it be successful. She stumbles into a complete disaster. And so bad that you would walk in and you could see needles sticking out of bags. You could see people's private medical records stuck on the walls for anybody to look at. You saw people rolling out in the alley, out in the side corridors who were not being monitored for their adverse events that they were suffering from. You saw people's blood being not taken in the proper way. You saw people, basically it's supposed to be a randomized test. It wasn't. It's supposed to be a placebo-controlled test. It wasn't. It's supposed to be a blinded clinical trial. It wasn't. All the data was doctored. All the data was in many ways fabricated or falsified. The certifications were fraudulent. The invoices were bogus. And Pfizer's whole other argument was, well, really, we didn't have to comply with the FDA rules. But right in the contracts, as the court itself started out the hearing with, the court it started out with, well, doesn't this provision of the contract say that Pfizer will comply with all of the FDA rules and regulations? Yes, it does. Does it say later in the contract that, in fact, this is all part of the entire process? Yes, it does. Indeed, what Pfizer promised the Trump Defense Department is goes beyond what just FDA approval. They said, we will deliver a safe, effective vaccine for the prevention of COVID-19. The words "for the prevention of COVID-19" are listed as a deliverable item more than a half dozen times in the contract Pfizer signed with the Defense Department. And yet, what did they deliver? They delivered something that was not safe. In fact, was uniquely and extraordinarily dangerous, according to the government's own vaccine adverse event reporting system. That is not effective, as the whole world knows, and as Pfizer's own CEO admitted to the European authorities, saying, we didn't even really test for whether it was effective or not. It didn't prevent infection. It didn't prevent transmission. We now know, of course, it wasn't a vaccine. It was a gene therapy. It's important to note this Defense Department contract was created at a time where the word vaccine still meant vaccine. It still meant something that inoculated and immunized against a disease.
Now, if they try to pull a quick one and say, we changed the definition, does it hold what the definition was at the time?
It doesn't in this case, because here the definition of vaccine in the contract was the definition commonly understood at the time. So they would have to go back and rewrite that contract, and they never have. They've never managed, the Biden Justice Department and the Biden Defense Department has never gone back and redone this contract. The only contract was the one signed by the Trump Defense Department, and the Trump Defense Department said, you will deliver this, and you'll only get paid if you deliver it. You must deliver something that's been FDA approved as a safe, effective vaccine for the prevention of COVID-19.
So they can't just say, well, it's anything we put into your arm is a vaccine. No, it has to be, by definition, the basically a weak version of the virus is what it was at the time, put into your arm. It has to be that.
Exactly. It has to be something that inoculates. And it was key. Like, they, even the contract language said there's three things you could deliver. You could deliver something that's a diagnostic tool. You could deliver something that is a treatment tool. Or you could deliver something that is a preventative tool. So it distinguished the three. And it said, what you're going to deliver us, Pfizer, if you want to get paid, is you're going to deliver us something that is a preventative tool, that it will prevent COVID-19. That was repeated all the way through the contract. That's where, if President Trump fully appreciates the Brooke Jackson case, he would understand he was lied to by Pfizer, and that it is time for the president to recognize he was lied to by Pfizer, that the American people were lied to by Pfizer, and he should say they should be held accountable for the lies they told, because this is the biggest mass crime by any company in the history of the United States.
Since Pfizer.
Since Pfizer.
Since Pfizer. Yeah, they're trying to one-up themselves.
Completely. I've always told people that Pfizer makes El Chapo look like a street corner drug dealer, that no Mexican drug cartel could ever imagine having the deleterious and damaging and destructive effect that Pfizer has had, and nothing like what they've done here. And this is why they're desperate. Their whole argument to the court was, Judge, the Biden administration is with us, so don't let this case go forward. They didn't have an argument from the contract. They didn't have an argument from the facts. They didn't have an argument from the law. Their only argument was, please, Judge, don't allow the case to go to discovery because the Food and Drug Administration is still on our side, because the Defense Department is still on our side. The Biden administration is still on our side. And our point was, there's a clear conflict of interest with the Biden administration, that it's independent of the politics and the party shifting and the personalities of the Trump to Biden shift. The big difference is Trump didn't mandate anyone take this drug. The Biden administration did. So they have a conflict. What if the whole world knew that the top high-ranking cabinet officials, including the president himself, mandated and forced people to take a drug as a condition of employment, as a condition of serving in the United States military, a drug that they knew, because Brooke Jackson had told members of the FDA this all the way back at the beginning, that they knew was not safe, not effective, not a vaccine, didn't prevent COVID-19, that the deliverable that Pfizer had brought to the U.S. taxpayers violated the very core, essential, elemental requirements of a deliver of what was supposed to be a deliverable to them. And then, in fact, tens of thousands of people, according to the government's own data, dead, millions of people disabled and suffering severe injuries. It would be the biggest political scandal in the history of the United States.
Well, and it sounds like, too, even though that's the larger issue, the contractual violation is the home run here. I mean, that's right. The ball sitting on the tee waiting to be knocked out of the park.
That's the fraud. That's the obvious self-evident fraud. They said, here's what we're going to deliver. And they sent in an invoice saying, we agree this is in accordance with the agreement. This is in accordance with the contract, with work performed. We're delivering you a safe, effective vaccine for the prevention of COVID-19. It wasn't safe. It wasn't effective. It wasn't a vaccine, and it didn't prevent COVID-19. They lied. Wow. People died. Time they be held liable.
All right, this is a story the mainstream media doesn't want to touch, and that's because at the end of this segment on the mainstream media, it's brought to you by Pfizer. Well, we don't have that message into our breaks, do we? So we'll talk about this. Hey now, that Pfizer lawyer wears the mask in court to protect himself from COVID, don't you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Though he's been vaccinated against COVID.
Yeah.
I mean, you should almost use that as an argument.
Oh, it was tempting. I sat next to somebody in the plane.
I can imagine that was tempting.
Oh, well, I sat next to somebody in the plane that was like masked.
And I saw a double masker yesterday.
And I had a little bit of a cold, and I was thinking, I'll probably cough once, and I'll be like, man.
Oh, it's game over now.
I probably should have been vaccinated, you know, just to have some fun with them. But it's the level of insanity of some of these people is extraordinary. But it's the key is, can the legal system step up and answer?
Because, well, let me bring that up, actually, because here's when we get into the legal system. And this is kind of something I was saying yesterday, just as a generality, when you talk about injustice, most people know somebody personally probably that's gone to jail or been arrested or been charged with a minor drug offense, right? Marijuana, whatever, narcotics, paraphernalia. But yet they might spend time in jail. They got to be in and out of court. They got to pay fines. They got to deal with it. And sometimes it's real life disruption. But when you're Pfizer, you can release a drug to hundreds of millions, billions of people, millions die. It doesn't even matter. And their argument in court is, come on, Biden's with us, man. We got Biden on our team. But so let me ask you this. They signed the contracts. The argument is that they violated the contracts. They're wearing a mask in court because the vaccine doesn't work. So they're admitting the vaccine doesn't work. But I'm guessing that money they got's probably already been spent. I'm guessing that money's probably already gone cha-ching right into some bank accounts.
Well, I think the next wave of potential litigation is as to Pfizer and Moderna is going to be that they lied to their shareholders. They lied to the public. Because just as they lied to the Trump Defense Department and said, we're delivering you a safe, effective vaccine for the protection of COVID-19 that was actually dangerous, ineffective, not a vaccine, and didn't prevent COVID-19, but in the same, and it actually created all these other harms it wasn't supposed to create. But they also told the stockholders they were delivering that. They told the stockholders we're delivering a safe, effective vaccine for the prevention of COVID-19. And they weren't.
So even more fraud.
Completely. And it's fraud on the market. And it's one place they have no immunity.
As you say, that's a different case entirely.
Completely. They don't have any immunity under the PREP Act. They don't have any immunity under whether the federal government is protecting them or not. They can't. That's a place that any shareholder out there that had Pfizer stock or Moderna stock that saw it go down after people discovered they'd been lying. I mean, people like Edward Dowd have detailed this. Others have detailed this. I talked to Wall Street people all the way back at the beginning of this who were monitoring it, who had some of the data before Dowd did. And they told me that what they were seeing was evident they were going to be shorting the stocks. And they said what they had seen was evidence that both Pfizer and Moderna had been lying systematically and systemically and that they must have known it. And that's the evidence. I mean, that's what Pfizer, if Pfizer was so right that they were, that the allegations were false against them, then why are they so terrified of any discovery? Like right now, they're begging the court to not allow any discovery ongoing in this case. Please, judge, whatever you do, don't allow a single deposition. Please don't allow a single request for production.
Have they tried to get this? I mean, I'll just ask it broadly. Have they tried to get this case out of the courtroom?
I mean, effectively, yes. In fact, their argument is that no court process should be allowed, that there should be there should never be any discovery in the case, that no jury should be allowed to hear the case. They made this argument explicitly. In fact, what they said is, once the FDA says something, judge, you, judge, have no more power to say a single thing about this. The jury has no more power to say a single thing about it.
Which is obviously not true.
No, it's directly contrary to the False Claims Act. I mean, the reason why that exists is because during the Civil War, corrupt union government bureaucrats were working with outside contractors to deliver faulty products to the ordinary soldier, which is exactly what this is. Because this originally started off as all about making sure our members of our military, our soldiers, had adequate safety.
And they got it mandated.
Completely. And it was all based on Pfizer's lies. And it was, but for Pfizer's lies, none of this is here. None of this happens. And in fact, by the way, what's also in the contract, they were supposed to deliver this safe, effective vaccine for the prevention of COVID-19 prior to the election. So they screwed Trump twice. First, they deliberately sandbagged Trump by not delivering it prior to the election, so he got no political credit for it. And then what they turned around and delivered was a total lie, wasn't what they had promised him from the get-go. And they have received billions and billions of taxpayers' dollars on all this. And the key is, if this fraud is exposed, that opens the door for them to be held accountable across the board. So we'll see. Now, the other case that can hold Pfizer accountable is if the grand jury, either in Florida, that's currently open. And my encouragement is, if DeSantis's people are sincere, and we'll know whether DeSantis is whether he's a deep state guy or whether he's a legitimate populist guy by whether or not the state grand jury that he formed actually holds Pfizer accountable. Because there's zero doubt at this point. We've amassed all kinds of evidence with Brooke Jackson that Pfizer knew they were lying to the people of Florida.
What about the Project Veritas videos, too? I mean, that's got to be huge.
There you have a Pfizer executive admitting on tape that they knew what they were doing was dangerous, that it was clearly altering various aspects of your body. Otherwise, it couldn't interfere with menstruation unless it was doing something to the very core of the body's function. It wasn't that, oh, maybe this will cause an infertility issue. It was that this goes beyond that. This goes to something's happening with this mRNA delivery platform that, again, and right in the contract, they said our mRNA platform is uniquely safe, uniquely effective, can be uniquely clinically tested in a quick and effective way. They were lying about all of it, and they knew they were lying about all of it.
And see, we know what a delicate chemistry it is when a mother is pregnant, and that's why you've got all these warnings about do not smoke, do not drink, don't do this. I mean, you know, real holistic health people won't do a lot of things when they're pregnant. But so let alone injecting an experimental technology into them to see what that'll do to the chemistry, well, now we know it was doing a lot of harm.
Yeah. Oh, completely. And that they knew it all the way through.
Yeah.
They knew it in test after test after test. There's more data coming out of Argentina. There's more data coming out of Israel. There's more data coming out of multiple countries. Whistleblowers continue to come forward, and we encourage them to continue to come forward. There are people who participated in these clinical trials all around the world who probably don't even realize what they saw was illegal. And that was one of Pfizer's arguments. Pfizer's arguments, well, was Brooke Jackson was there, and she just saw one glimpse of it. The reality is she saw a clear window into the scope and scale and severity of their criminality and fraud. But they want to say, don't worry, what she saw only happened in Texas.
So they're trying to say, it's like if there's 10 grocery stores here, like a popular grocery store is HEB.
Yeah.
So it's like you got 10 HEBs here, and I go down to one HEB, which is maybe in a seedy area, and it's kind of dirty and grungy, and there's some, you know, seedy characters around, and it's like, well, that's just that one. That's only that HEB. But then I go to another one, and I go to another one, and I go to another one, and it's the same thing. Grungy, dirty. By the way, I'm not saying that about HEB. I actually like the people at HEB. I got friends that work there. So just being clear. But I'm saying that's the analogy. It's like saying, no, it's just that one. But then you go to every single one, and it's the exact same thing.
It's why they want to deny all the discovery. Because they know if we looked at all the documents, it probably gets worse. She was witnessing things she had never witnessed in her near 20-year career. I mean, she was just shocked and horrified at it at multiple levels. And that's how bad it was. And so that's why they don't want the world to know the truth. They don't want the world. We have alleged in our complaint that we will show that this was systematic and systemic all across the globe in their clinical trials. Pfizer lied. People died. Time for discovery. Time for liability.
And now I guess the question is this going to be like the FTX money? It's just gone. We just don't know. We don't know where the money is. Sorry. Well, we'll see if Pfizer gets away with it to that extent. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. All right. I want to get into some other topics here with Bob Barnes, who is going to be hosting the fourth hour, by the way. But let's just kind of put a bow on this. What do you think the people need to know about this ongoing case against Pfizer? What, you know, when or if is the next big break going to appear in the media? Or really, where is the media? I mean, here you are with us.
Yep.
I'm not hearing anybody else cover your story. Anybody else reached out for comment?
The institutional media has tried to avoid this case like the plague. And that's a sign of its strength. I mean, if the case was weak, we would have hit piece after hit piece after hit piece. So we have almost no coverage. There's been sort of blanket non-coverage of the entire, in fact, what happened here is once the Biden administration took over the case, so she filed her complaint or made the government aware of it back in the fall of 2020. And the same day she talked to the FDA and said, hey, look, there's a whole bunch of problems with these clinical trials. Later that same day, she's summarily fired. You're gone. Don't come back. Don't ever come back into the office. Then after that, she gets contacted by Pfizer's lawyer, who somehow knows her cell phone number that wasn't on the employment files. And so clearly there was a coordinated effort to try to suppress this. She hires counsel. The U.S. government, the Biden administration, says we're seriously investigating this. Well, you know, we have to keep it sealed. Keep it under the federal court seal. Don't tells her lawyers, don't talk about the case, don't discuss the case. Now, legally, you're entitled to discuss the facts of the case, not the existence of the case itself, but the underlying facts you're free to discuss. But that wasn't even relayed to her. She wasn't told that. So for about a year, she's kept quiet by her prior lawyers, who it turns out have all kinds of conflicts involved in the case, and because the U.S. government was saying that they were seriously investigating and going to hold Pfizer accountable. And then on the eve of this motion to dismiss, the U.S. government comes in and says, oh, judge, please get rid of the case. It's like, well, what were you doing for a year? Were you lying to the judge? Were you lying to the American people? Were you lying to her about seriously investigating it in order to cover up the existence of these allegations for a year? So, all of that would be subject to discovery. What we told the judge is we not only want discovery from Pfizer, but because Pfizer is now claiming that the government would have approved this even if the government knew it was a dangerous, ineffective gene therapy disguised as a vaccine that did not actually work for the prevention of COVID-19, well, our position is we should be entitled to depose government officials as well.
Well, yeah, and I guess they feel confident enough in the defense that that'll somehow, I guess, get them off. Like, hey, get off our back. Go after the government. Well, it's like, how about we go after both of you?
Completely. Exactly. I mean, the fact that they may be complicitly in cahoots with high-ranking corrupt members of the government is an ongoing damnation of both them and the government officials that could be implicated. Because the reason for this whole law is because the Congress said, you know what, we cannot trust government bureaucrats to protect against fraud. So we're going to give the American people a direct right through what's called QI-TAM claims, False Claims Act, to bring that claim on behalf of the American people. That's why Brooke Jackson is the relator on behalf of the American people, on behalf of the United States against Pfizer. And the reason they did it is because we can't trust the government to do the right thing, unfortunately, too often in scandals, these scale and size of this one. Now, she also has a separate claim. My co-counsel, Alexis Anderson, made the argument in that part of the claim, which is the retaliatory discharge claim, so that she was fired as soon as she reported it to the FDA. And their only defense was, well, we don't know if that's why she was fired. I mean, let's see. She reports it to the FDA, gets fired. It's pretty darn obvious what
have they offered an alternative reason as to why she was fired?
None. Zero alternative reason as to why she was canned.
I mean, that's just straight laziness. I mean, they can't even come up with an excuse.
Yeah,
she was stealing sandwiches from the employee's fridge, you know?
Well, they were initially complicit in trying. The British Medical Journal covered, independently investigated Brooke Jackson's allegations, independently confirmed and verified the authenticity and the accuracy of her exhibits and affidavits. I think they've talked to other whistleblowers in addition to that. And so they came out with one of the most well-respected, peer-reviewed medical journals in the world, says Brooke Jackson's allegations are true and accurate about what Pfizer did. And it begins the British Medical Journal asking lots of questions about what's happening here. But in that capacity, initially, the company Ventavia that fired Brooke Jackson tries to libel and lie about her to other medical publications to try to limit the coverage the British Medical Journal's publication got. In Europe, it got tons of coverage. In the United States, it didn't get as much coverage. And so we actually were talking about suing Ventavia for defamation and libel. They backed down, retracted some of their statements, et cetera. So they knew that lying was not going to be a long-term successful strategy for them. This Brooke Jackson has an impeccable near 20-year record in the industry.
Well, and yeah, it sounds to me, the more I hear about this, and it's funny, Brooke Jackson is not a household name. She probably should be. Brooke Jackson is the hero of this case, coming
completely
forward as a whistleblower and exposing the corruption that she was seeing in one of the biggest stories when it comes to medicine and pharmacia in U.S. history with this vaccine. I mean, her name should be the household name.
Absolutely. I mean, people can see, I mean, her, she has a website, I am Brooke Jackson. She's on Twitter at I am Brooke Jackson. And she was willing to go public about all of this because they had gone to great lengths to suppress and censor the existence of this story. Because she was someone you couldn't take apart. She's someone that's been in the industry almost 20 years. She was someone who had confidence and trust and belief in vaccines and pharmaceuticals, or she wouldn't be in the industry. She was someone who had overseen and supervised various aspects of clinical trials for a long time. She was someone who believed and wanted this vaccine to work and be effective. And so she had no incentive or motivation to lie about anything. And instead, she keeps reporting it. Document it, report it, document it, report it. Exactly what you're supposed to do. And that's why they were terrified that somebody that knew what was supposed to happen, because most of the people at that clinical trial, like the people being tested, they don't know what the rules are. They don't know what blinding is. They don't know what a placebo, how that works. They don't know what the testing requirements are.
So it's like if you're a referee at a basketball game and the league, the commissioner calls you before the finals and says, hey, when the Chicago Bulls score, you're going to count that as 3 points. And when the Golden State Warriors score, you're going to count that as 2 points. And the ref would be like, this doesn't seem right. I'm going to take note of this. I'm going to blow the whistle on this.
Exactly. And document it and report it all the way up the food chain. And she was shocked. And well, here's the thing. Many of the people that were in that hierarchy were confirming that this was systemic. And the reason it was systemic was Pfizer lied from the very beginning. Pfizer's whole pitch was, you know what? We can create a unique system of clinical trial testing these pharmaceuticals that we can replicate in the future. That's why it was a protocol agreement under the defense agreement. We can create something unique that will provide for our enhanced national security for our soldiers down the way because we can accelerate the timetable for clinical trial success that has never been done in the history of clinical trials based on our mRNA technology, but our mechanism of doing these trials. It was all a lie. They were just going to rush through the whole clinical trial process, not follow any of the rules and regulations and restrictions to be able to pretend they could do it when they couldn't do it.
Well, if I'm a layman hearing this and forget about just all the stuff we know about the world and Pfizer's history and all this. If I'm a layman and I'm hearing this, well, the story is pretty obvious at just a basic face value here. There was no way Pfizer could have guaranteed any of this. There was no way they could have guaranteed the vaccines would stop infection. There was no way they could have guaranteed that they were safe and effective. They said they were, and I guess the reason why they were so bold was because they knew they thought they had immunity. They thought that they could do this and be immune from lawsuits, and they saw the money. They saw the money sitting on the table. Well, why wouldn't we rush through this? We're going to get billions of dollars, and we're immune from lawsuits, they thought.
Exactly, and they assumed that the Brooke Jacksons of the world would keep their mouth shut. Because you look at Brooke Jackson, she knows the moment she discloses this that all of a sudden she has no career left in the industry, that she'll be subject to personal smear campaigns.
Jeez, what does that say about the industry?
It does say it. It says too much about the industry. That she knew that, in fact, that the whole nature, that she was seeing one of the worst public health scandals, probably the worst public health scandal in world history. And she was a personal witness to it, and she's at the front lines of it. And not long after she reports this, she's suddenly fired. Then she has Pfizer's lawyer calling her at home. Then all of a sudden her mail is being opened up before she even gets to receive it and read it. All kinds of anomalies are happening.
IamBrookeJackson.com.
IamBrookeJackson.com.
For her story.
Yep. You can get her whole story and follow her on Twitter.
Well, she's a real hero. And Bob Barnes and his legal team, you got a lot of good, hungry lawyers working for you on this case too that are doing great work. So folks, we're going to continue to monitor this story. I do want to change lanes though when we come back with some other developments as far as stopping drag queen story time. This is getting into a legal fight now.
If you want to continue to see hardcore, game-changing, tip of the spear, 98% accuracy that just is setting brush fires in the minds of men and women everywhere, stay with InfoWars, pray for InfoWars, spread the word about InfoWars, and buy product at InfoWars. And I can tell you how many outside groups go and test the products we sell. Like Mike Adams is famous for his big testing lab where he tests all sorts of products, also supplements. And I didn't even know this happened with a family member. He was giving a family member that had some neurological issues CBD oil, because in all the studies, it's really good CBD oil. It really helps all sorts of neurological things. Parkinson's, epilepsy, narcolepsy, the list goes on and on, joint pain, you name it. And he went and tested ours, and his testing lab, tech that has degrees in this, said this is the highest quality we've seen. We've seen another brand this good, but this is the very top. This should be $160 a bottle for the 1,000 milligram that he puts out. And that's true. They recommended we sell it for $150. I went to these folks that own a big company that's one of the top distributors in the country of wide spectrum CBD. And they said, we recommend $150 retail and then discount it $100. Well, I'm not going to do 200% markup. So at $67, there's 100 100% markup to fund ourselves. You're getting the best CBD, 1,000 milligram, 25 milligram, and 10 milligram, depending on the one you want, at over 50% what you're going to get this anywhere else. That's with a discounted. It's, well, I guess it's about 35% after the discount. So, but if you look at retail, it's like a 70% discount. The point is that point blank, everybody knows CBD is great. Doctors are prescribing it everywhere, even though it's not prescription. This is the best you're going to get. Infowarsstore.com, and it funds the Infowar, a total 360 win. Only way we fail is we don't take action. And I know less than 1% of the viewers, so I love and I think, I'm not bitching. If just one more percent would just do it, we wouldn't just be good, we could expand. So we're not going anywhere. Those of you that have bought the products, you know who you are. Those who haven't, hey, keep spreading the word, keep praying for us. And if you want to experience great CBD, try it out, get a bottle. And I think you're going to be a repeat customer. Buy the product.